This is our gospel meeting here at Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, and we want to bid you a very warm word of welcome. Being the first Sunday of the month, it is family night, and so tonight is a special evening with a special testimony, for later on in the service we have the testimony of Simon Anderson. Simon is a fourth-year student at the Whitfield College of the Bible, and he has been placed here at Hebron for his final year as our student assistant. So we're looking forward to the testimony tonight, and we trust that you will pray for him as he comes later on to give a personal word of testimony. Now, because our church is closed to the public today, we can't have people in the congregation, so we can't sing unless you want a duet or a trio. We'll not make you suffer that tonight. But we do have a recording here of our sister Victoria Salt, and so she's going to sing the hymn number 9. You might have a hymn book at home, and you can follow the words: with harps and with viols there stands a great throng. We'll listen to Victoria sing this hymn. That's a lovely piece, and we want to thank Victoria for singing that beautiful piece this evening. And we want the Lord to have the glory as this meeting takes place tonight. How helpless and hopeless these sinners had been. And that's where we were before the Lord in his grace found us. And he drew us to himself, he washed us in the redeeming blood of Christ, and we're here tonight saved by grace alone. We'll abide together in prayer and seek the face of Almighty God as we come to his house and come to his presence this evening. And as you join us at home on Facebook and Sermon Audio, it is our earnest desire of heart and the prayer of our soul that you will be blessed just where you are and feel the impact of this time. Under different circumstances, we bit like what it was back in lockdown, but we're here tonight to worship God, to praise his name, and to conduct this time of gospel opportunity. Heavenly Father, we bow before your throne of heavenly grace. We draw near to thee in the all-precious and the lovely name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How we rejoice afresh that we have a man in the glory who is acquainted with all our ways, one who in the fullness of time became man and dwelt among us in this world. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, the eternal Logos, the Word that was in the beginning with God, and the Word that was God, and the Word that became flesh and tabernacled in this old world among the sinful sons of Adam. We come through his name. We stand upon redemption ground. We seek thee earnestly for your blessing to be upon us tonight as we conduct this service and as we listen to the testimony a little bit later on. We thank thee for Simon. We thank thee for the grace of God that dwells in him. For that very day when the Lord in mercy reached down his arm of salvation and plucked him as a brand from the burning and brought him unto Christ and saved his soul. We thank thee for the dealings of God in his life, the workings of the Spirit. When you wooed him to the Savior, you opened the mind of understanding. You gave him a heart to perceive the very mind of God in the matter of salvation. You convicted him of his sin. And there was that very moment when he was born again of the Spirit, when he turned to Christ in faith and repentance and became a child of God. Now, as he tells that story tonight, as he relates to us his personal testimony, we pray that you will stand with him in the pulpit and give him words to say. And we pray that many listening tonight will benefit from what he has to tell us. We pray that there will be the challenge of the gospel. We pray that any who are still in their sin will be wakened up to understand their need of a Savior. We thank thee that our God is mighty to save, and he's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto him. And Lord, we pray that as individuals sit and listen on their computer screen, their iPad, or their phone, whatever it might be tonight, that the Spirit of God will so work in mighty power in their hearts. And if they're not saved, Lord, bring them to the foot of the cross. Bring them to Christ in redemption tonight. You were able to save, and save to the uttermost. May that work of grace be done in many a heart that listens to this service tonight. And for your own dear people, Lord, we all have a testimony to your grace. We can all look back to a moment when the great transaction was done, when we became the Lord's, when we were brought into the family of God through the experience of the new birth. Oh, happy day that fixed our choice on thee, our Savior and our God. And so we do rejoice this evening. We thank thee for the song that we've listened to, that our sister brought to us. We thank thee that we will be numbered one day among that great throng in heaven, as we stand around the throne of God and of the Lamb, and we sing the praises of the Lamb unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin. Unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Very conscious tonight that through the length and breadth of this country, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be proclaimed. We thank thee for that. We thank thee there's still a faithful witness in this land. Thank thee for every minister and pastor, every student, every layman that will take up your word tonight and preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Lend liberally to their hands. Give them the enduement of power from on high. Let there be a work done throughout this land that will greatly magnify and honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we pray for Ulster, we pray for the whole of Ireland. We pray for the United Kingdom. We pray for the many parts of Europe and, Lord, the various continents of the earth in these dark and dismal days. There is a light that is burning. There are preachers and missionaries of the cross who are proclaiming the word of the living God to the nations of the world. And we pray that even in these days the Lord will be gathering in his church as he has promised to do. Do remember, Lord, down in Bangor this evening, our brother Joshua, as he preaches your word. Thank thee for him. Thank thee for the upbringing that he had and for all the training. And now this period of time that he's been in Bangor as their pastor. We pray that you will extend his border, that you will enlarge his coast, that you will gather the people of that town in under the sound of your word. And may many sinners come to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do remember others who have left this congregation to preach your word in other places. Remember those that are on the mission field. Remember those that are occupying other pulpits. Remember our students at this time. Lord, keep your hand of grace upon them for good. Now we take a moment just to still our hearts before the presence of God as we think of our brother Dr. Cairns in hospital and his great need there. Lord, you know his situation. You know all about his body. Lord, you know this very dark place that he's in. Well, we thank thee that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we praise thee for a loving, compassionate, considerate God, whose eye is always upon the righteous, whose ear is always open to their cry. And Lord, as you listen tonight to this prayer and to the prayers of your people through the world, the prayers of this congregation very especially on behalf of Mr. Cairns, Lord, we're asking thee to turn the tide and to bring healing to his body. We believe with all of our hearts you're able to answer this prayer. You're able to give us our heart's desire in this matter. And so we hand your servant over to thee. He's in your hands already. But Lord, in this very special way, in the attitude of prayer, we want to commit him into the hands of God again. And we pray that thou wilt perfect that which concerns him. Be with Mrs. Cairns at home. May she know the overwhelming sense of your presence. Bear her up in the arms of love. Be her stay. Be the rock and the fortress to your child. And Lord, remember all the others in the congregation that have tested positive for coronavirus. Some of them, Lord, are feeling the burden of this virus, and we pray for them especially that you will come by and visit their homes and bring healing to their bodies as well. We think of the other sick connected to the church, those that are struggling at this time. Into thy hands we commit them graciously and tenderly just now. Continue with us through this service tonight and bless your word as it goes forth. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Now we want to welcome you who are listening in tonight on Sermon Audio and on Facebook. As you know, the church has been closed down since last Lord's Day, and we haven't had the public gathering. And so from the 25th of October through to next week, the 8th of November, the public will not be able to gather here in the church. Our meetings are going out over the internet. Do remember us, please, in prayer as we continue with the work of God in this house. That means that on Tuesday night, when our youth challenge was due to recommence, it will not take place. That has now been postponed until Tuesday week, the 10th of November. Please keep that in mind and make it known. Thursday night, in the will of God, I'll be here to minister the word and have our midweek service, the prayer meeting and the Bible study. But again, it's done remotely. It'll be done over the internet. We trust that you'll be able to tune in. Friday night, the youth fellowship will meet at 8 o'clock, and that will be on Zoom. And just to remind the young people, for your quiz, you are to read Genesis chapters 10 through to 13. Craig Dennison is the special speaker on Friday night, as he represents Trinitarian Bible Society. The elders and the ministers of our churches will gather on Friday night for the presbytery meeting at 8 o'clock, and that will take place in the Martyrs' Memorial in Belfast. We will be here in the will of God for the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock next Sabbath day. The Sunday school will be recommencing at 10:45. The Bible class will take place at the same time, and our worship service is at 12, when we hope to have one of our students from our own congregation, Mr. David McCauley, bringing the message. I'll be here to lead the service in the will of God. It is Remembrance Day, next Lord's Day, and so at the evening service we will have a special time at 7 o'clock. I'll be here to preach. What we've had for a couple of years will be greatly scaled down as we compare it with those former years. But nonetheless, this meeting will take place. We look forward to it. We thank you again sincerely for your giving to the work of God and your tithes and offerings, etc. We just want to mention that on Thursday night past, we had Simon and Hannah Snodgrass, who are going to work with CEF in Scotland. Congregation wasn't here, and so we weren't able to have the usual deputation offering. But if you have an offering or a gift, please send it in to us as soon as possible, and we will pass it on to Simon and Hannah. I want to mention again that the gifts received for the Nepal Vehicle Appeal. We received a gift of £1,000, one of £200, and another of £50. Thank you again in the Saviour's name. And that fogging machine that I mentioned earlier, we received a gift of £100. Can I thank the individual who sent that in also? We do pray in these days for the intervention of God and for the various aspects of the ministry of this house. We're asking you to keep this before the Lord in prayer. We also have a great responsibility to pray for the sick and the needy of the congregation, and we commend this list to you in the Saviour's great name. Now, there's no other hymns to sing. This is the announcements. We've made them tonight. All that needs to be said. We are very especially glad to have Mr. Simon Anderson as our special testimony tonight. I believe God's servant is settling in well with the Hebron Church. We were able to do a few visits together, and last Thursday he was able to ring round some members of the congregation simply to encourage them. Simon, I want to say we're delighted that you're here. You're going to give your testimony, and we're waiting in anticipation to what you have to say. I want you to feel very much at home at Hebron and in the pulpit as you come to open up the Word of God and tell us what Jesus Christ means to you. Thank you in the Lord's name. God bless you.
Good evening, folks. It's lovely to be with you, even though it is by means of this technology that we're able to meet one with the other. We're turning for our scripture reading tonight to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 6. While you're turning up the place, perhaps we thank Mr. Park and the session and the committee, the congregation, for this opportunity to come and labour amongst you here for this, my internship during this, my final year in college. We thank you sincerely for the warm welcome which we have received, and we look forward to getting to know each and every one in a greater way in the days ahead. I'm thankful even for the opportunities we've had already, despite the restraints that we seek to work under in these current days. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and we're breaking into the reading there at the verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And then we go on down to the verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We'll end our reading there and seek God's blessing even upon it tonight as we meet together Let's just bow for a moment's prayer as we ask the Lord for help, even as we come to give witness of what he has done in my heart and life tonight. Oh, Father, we praise thee and thank thee, Lord, for this another gospel opportunity, this another opportunity to meet around thy precious word tonight. Oh, Lord, yes, it's far from what we maybe expected. We didn't expect that the church would be empty, that people would be meeting around their devices to listen in to this service tonight. But Lord, how thou had this planned even from eternity past, this meeting even as it was arranged in thy will. And Father, we come now to thee. We commit ourselves unto thee. We praise thee and thank thee, Lord, even for what has taken place already. We praise thee now, Lord, even as we come to thee, that we have this access opened unto us, that we're not left to ourselves, that we can even come to thee. We can cry unto thee even in the place of prayer. And Lord, we can even have a service such as this, and it can be beamed out across the airwaves, even across Northern Ireland tonight, and even the uttermost parts of the world. And Father, we just pray for each and every one that will tune in tonight, that Lord, you'll have a word in season for each and every waiting heart, we pray of thee. Oh Lord, come and speak, Lord, with that voice that wakes the dead, we pray of thee. Oh Lord, we praise thee and thank thee, Lord, for that wonderful privilege that it is to be saved and to be sure that, Father, that when we leave this scene of time, that we're ready for heaven and for home. Oh Lord, just close us in with thyself, we pray, each one, even in our homes tonight. Father, deliver us from distracting thoughts. How easy it is, even in the home, to get distracted, to lose sight of even what's going on and lose sight of the message, what has been said. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you'll even pour out your Spirit upon both preacher and hearer alike, we pray. And may this be a blessed time as we wait on thee. And Father, to this end we cry, hide me far behind the cross. Let none be seen tonight save Christ and him crucified. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm thankful to God for what he has done in my life. And I echo tonight the words of the hymn writer, "Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace has bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace." And when I think tonight of my conversion as a country boy, my mind goes back to my childhood days, how I was born there in South Armagh in the townland of Corkley, just about a mile from the border with the Republic of Ireland, the second youngest of a family of six. I don't need to tell you that the late 70s and early 80s were particular dark days in our province. I grew up in a time when it was very normal that a helicopter would just land in the field beside you at least once a day. It was no surprise as it dropped off 7 to 14 soldiers, or perhaps even dropped some off and lifted another squad. And I remember as a child even the great excitement it was as this helicopter landed in the field and watching the soldiers as they disembarked from the aircraft and they suddenly just disappeared into the undergrowth. Looking back now, in reality, we were living in the middle of a war zone. Yet interestingly, we seldom, if ever, felt any fear. In many ways, we were shielded from that which was happening all around us. My childhood was one of privilege beyond measure. The Lord blessed me with faithful parents, faithful siblings, Sunday school teachers, Bible class leader, faithful ministers and faithful friends. Our home being a farm was always a very busy place, but time was always set aside by my parents to attend church, take us to Sunday school and the prayer meeting during the week, take us along to any children's meetings and youth meetings as they were convened. It was only as I grew that I realized that being brought up in that Christian environment was a great honor. As a result of going to church and other meetings as a young boy, having been taught the way of salvation, I soon realized my need of a Savior. I realized that my parents' salvation would not be enough for me. The salvation of my brothers and sisters would never be suffice for me. I soon realized that I had to come to Christ as a sinner,
bow before him, confess my sin, my need of him, if I was to be saved. I remember back to that Christmas morning, as a young boy aged 8, how I awakened under conviction of sin, with the words of John 3:16 ringing in my ears. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And many, on Christmas morning, you'd be thinking of so many things, and thinking of the presents, and thinking of the day ahead. But I remember that day distinctly, how I got down on my knees and cried unto the Saviour to forgive me of my sins. I repented of my sin, and by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ, and was saved that day for time and for eternity. I finished my primary education and I went on to high school, and there it was much harder to take a stand for the Lord. But we're so thankful how he enabled us to remain faithful to his precious word. It's tough to be a young person to take a stand at school or college or university. And you know, perhaps you're a young person here tonight and you're listening in. And maybe you're the parent of a young person. You know, we need to pray with each other and for each other. In these days, the young people are faced with so many things that we weren't faced with. In days gone by, they're bombarded with this LGBT agenda and so many other things. We need to be much in prayer for our young people. When I was in my late teens, I was asked to go on an outreach team to the Republic of Ireland. And this was a great encouragement to me. On reflection, this was the first time the Lord revealed to me the great need there was for men and women to give of their lives to the furtherance of the gospel. Just a few hours away from me, just over the border, I think it was about 4 hours' drive altogether, there were people there that I met, and then they had no idea of the message of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, how challenged I was even then as a young Christian. In many ways, I had a privileged childhood, but none greater of that of being saved as a child. And you know, perhaps tonight you're listening in, you're gathered around the device along with mum and dad, or granny and grand, and you're a child. And you know tonight, even as I preach, that you can be saved, even where you sit tonight. That was my childhood, but then I think of my career. You know, I met my wife Lindsay at high school, and over the years we have got married, and the Lord has blessed us with 3 children. And as we were both from farming backgrounds, it seemed a natural decision just to go home and to farm. We joined Mullaghlass Free Presbyterian Church. We became involved there, serving in whatever way we could, in the youth fellowship, Sunday school, youth committee, Bible class, youth fellowship, church committee. We were confident that we were in the will of the Lord, doing that which he would have us to do, despite leading a very busy life on the farm. Then in 2010, at the beginning of the summer holidays, we were just concluding the Bible class there at the end of May, beginning of June, and things around the home just seemed to be getting busier and busier there in the business. Busier and busier and busier. And you know, can I warn you tonight of the danger of becoming too busy? As believers, the Lord expects us to work for our daily provision, but not at the expense of our relationship with him. In a world where there's so much on offer, even as Christians, we can't help but seek after the material things of this world. We want this, we want that, or the other thing. But friends, tonight in the meeting, the question we must ask is this: is our treasure in the work of the Lord, in the things of God? Matthew 6:21, we read these words: for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we get too busy, so caught up in earthly things, with earthly possessions, we can oftentimes lose out with God. We become too busy to read, then too busy to pray, and then too busy to be found out in church on the Lord's day. The Saviour exhorts us in Matthew 26:41 to watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Such a warning it is to each and every one of us who profess the name of Christ. Watch and pray. Don't slip back into sin. Don't get caught up with the business of this old world. But cling to Christ and follow after his example. Oh, if we don't, we get so far away from him. Where we should be in our walk with him, we lose out on the blessing that is ours to be had in him. I was becoming too busy, not giving enough time to reading and praying. I decided I'd begin a personal study of the book of Matthew, and I started to read, but each day as I did so, I didn't seem to be able to get very far. You see, verse after verse, the Lord was speaking to me, was really challenging me, such as verses Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then into verse 19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, the list was endless. Then into Matthew 6, and the verses we have read together tonight, verses 19 to 20. Oh, how I became very challenged as I learned of the division that is made between earthly treasure and heavenly treasure. I found myself pondering, which would I rather have? And dear friend, tonight as you listen in, which would you rather have? We have already quoted, but it's worth quoting again. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you seeking after the material things of this old world, or the spiritual blessings which are given only by the Lord himself? Oh, my career was getting first place rather than my service and my labours for the Lord. We come then to the 14th of November 2010 as we consider my calling. You see, it was just another Lord's Day morning. We did our daily duties around the farm. We went to church. Dr. Cairns was a visiting preacher. He turned up to the scriptures, some of which we have read tonight, Matthew 6. He read the whole passage and then took as his text these last two verses. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Men and women, boys and girls tonight, young people, what can I say but the word of the Lord came alive to me that day like never before. I still didn't realize really what was happening to me, but I knew that God was speaking to me. I came home from church that morning and I didn't eat much, and I usually take a lie down before we went out to do the milking before going to church again that evening. But I couldn't settle. I couldn't rest. I went out just when I got started earlier in the hope we could get away in good time and back ready for church and back down to the prayer meeting in good time. You see, the Lord was really speaking to me in a way that I never experienced before. Dr. Cairns began to speak again that night. He was giving his testimony. I have to admit I was deeply troubled. You see, I knew there was a choice to be made to stay or to go. I needed to be sure. I needed the call to be clear. And I soon found myself praying that night inwardly, Lord, if this is real, apply this message, this testimony, especially to me. And you know, as Dr. Cairns relayed that testimony, the Lord really brought those verses found in Matthew 6, verses 19 and 21 home to me again once more. You see, it was as if the Lord was saying to me, Simon, if you were working as hard in my service as you are for your own ends, what could not be achieved? Those challenging words spoken by Paul were also brought before us. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. I remember the feeling after the meeting. I remember sitting there, I could take you to the pew, a few seats from the back, and feeling as if I was the only one in the church. As Dr. Cairns relayed his testimony, after the meeting, the Lord drew me into that minister's room to speak with his servant. And you know, I was shy. I was anxious. Thinking of this man that I had his books in my library. How would I ever speak to this man? Yet he was just as prepared of the Lord to listen as I was to speak. Oh, he offered much wise counsel that night, for which I will be eternally grateful. He advised me to go home and pray that I could do nothing else if this was really the call of God on my life. And I have to be honest with you tonight, men and women. I went home and I prayed the exact opposite. I said, Lord, I'll do anything else. You see, friend, I loved the farm. I loved the land, and every Monday was the commencement of a new project. Build something else, buy something else, push the business forward. I loved everything I was doing. I didn't want to go. I never wanted to end up where I am here tonight. I was always very happy in the pew. But after a hard period as a family and numerous verses of scripture confirming the call, through systematic Bible study and with the support of our church and our family, both Lindsay and I realized that we must obey the call of God. So after prayerful consideration and direction from the Lord and through his precious word, I commenced study for the matriculation examinations required for entry to the college at that time. I set the English exam by the grace of God. I passed it, and I continued then to study for the two further exams, English Lit and History. But as time went on, as I studied and I farmed, I could feel the door closing for me to go any further forward. And as a family, we tried to sell the farm, as there was no one else in the family to take it on. But we got no customers. Not one. And not only did the door close to progress into full-time service at that time, men and women, folks tonight, it was just as if a wall came up before me. That I couldn't get over. I couldn't get around, or I couldn't get under. It was just a dead stop. We continued therefore to farm, accepting that it was God's will for our lives not to progress any further into full-time ministry at that time. Waiting on the Lord is a most difficult thing to do. Many Christians wrongly believe that when the Lord has given guidance to do something, that you just put your feet up and you wait there. But nothing could be further from the truth. What good is someone who's lazy, a man, a woman, or a young person to the Lord? We must be faithful. We must keep working away, doing what we're doing, despite perhaps the burden of not knowing why. And he will reveal and fulfill his perfect plan in his perfect way, in his perfect time. Therefore, we continue to work in our local church. We continue to work in the farm. Our parlor needed updated, so we installed robots. We continued whatsoever our hand findeth to do, and we did it with all our might. We sought to keep faithful, even though we didn't understand what God was doing at that point in our lives. And I urge you tonight to do likewise. Perhaps the Lord has given you clear guidance from his word. A promise, perhaps. You don't understand why things aren't unfolding as you thought that they would. Hold fast. Keep looking to him. Continue doing what you're doing. And wait as he unveils to you his perfect plan for your life. You see, the Lord is neither early nor late. Rather, he is always on time. And just over 5 years ago now, our circumstances began to change as a family. I remember the words of our daily reading one day in Habakkuk chapter 3 and the last three verses there. There shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And you know, when I read this portion of scripture, I knew that the Lord was starting to move things along. You see, if there was anything about our house, about our farm, there was lots of cubicles. There was lots of stalls there on the farm. And here the Lord was telling me they were going to be emptied. A few days later, I was at a meeting, and the gentleman responsible for the preaching spoke again, and he got up to preach, and what were the only these words again? Habakkuk chapter 3, in the last three verses, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation, the Lord God is my strength. Not long after, the Lord answered prayer in providing a buyer for the farm. And I remember the day before the cattle auction, our minister arrived. I was working down in the yard whenever I saw him. You know, I could take you to the place, even there in the farmyard. I saw him coming round. And I says, just hold on, I'll meet you at the house and we'll get a cup of tea. I remember going in through the door of the house. I don't remember anything else that he said that day. Although you know the Lord has really impressed the words of Habakkuk chapter 3 in the last three verses upon my heart, Simon. You know, my farming days are becoming more and more a distant memory. I've now entered my final year of the theological course in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And we look back now on almost 10 years of great highs and great lows with the Lord. Today, when I told my father that I believed that the Lord was calling me into full-time service, you see, I remember back to the days when, as a child, and in the prayer meetings, there with my parents, as I said at the start of my testimony, they prayed for their children. They asked the Lord, take them up and use them. Did they ever think for one moment that the Lord was going to take the farmer? Oh, my father responded that day when I told him that I felt called into the full-time service by quoting that verse of Scripture, Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And folks, tonight, the lesson for each one of us as God's children is this. You look after God's business, and He will look after yours. That in all things He might have the preeminence. You see, dear saint, in the meeting tonight, as you listen in, can I remind you, despite whether there's nothing wrong with having any of the luxuries and things of this world, you can't bring the nice car with you to glory, nor the nice house. And farmer listening in tonight, you'll not bring 1 acre of land with you to glory. But I can tell you this, in the will of the Lord, you can bring your family. You can bring your friends. You can bring your neighbors. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever paused to think about these things? The only belongings you can bring with you to glory is your family or friends. Tell me tonight, are you striving to do so? Are you praying for that loved one? Oh yes, they seem to be getting harder to the things of God, but keep praying. The Lord can move in people's hearts and draw them to Himself, even when we least expect it. We consider how many ministers and missionaries were called of God many years before the Lord granted circumstances for them to proceed. We think of Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, the Lord Jesus Himself, even prepared 30 years to preach for 3. You know, we thank the Lord for the peace which He has given us as a family, that we are right in the center of His perfect will. We think of those wonderful words often in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh yes, there's been plenty of difficulties along the way, plenty of knockbacks and setbacks. But we rejoice that the Lord is faithful. I think, you know, back to December, 3 months into after having started college, I remember coming up to that time of the year, there was a praise service, which in our area we met together with the Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. We had taken our youth fellowship down, and I remember going in that night, and I was sitting at the back of the church, and I was deflated, to say the least. I was thinking to myself, what have I done? What am I doing? What am I doing in college? Oh, I'm too old for this, or I can't do this. I remember sitting there and wondering, you know, how will I ever get through 4 years of this? And yet again, as our brother got up to preach that night, turned again to that passage which we've referred to already in Habakkuk chapter 3 in the last three verses once more. The Lord would give strength. Oh, the cows would be gone, but the Lord would give strength. He would bless us. And friend, tonight the Lord is faithful to His word. Maybe there's young people listening in tonight. What about you? What about you? What about your life? Is the Lord calling you to serve Him at home or on the mission field? Oh, there's much, much to be done. As we have said many times in youth meetings, you know, I can only give the rest of my life to God. But a young person can give the very best of their life in service for God. Maybe, dear unsaved person, tonight as you listen in to this testimony, oh, you, like many others, just don't get it. You look at me and you think, oh, he's half mad. You don't know why that I would give up something freely that there was what we'd think in, according to the world around us, it was my security, contentment in life, set up for life, you could say, and yet to leave it all behind to serve Christ in a full-time capacity. You don't know why anybody would do that. Well, friend, it's very simple. You see, it's all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about my farm. It's not about my family. It's about Him, the Lord Jesus. The apostle reminds us in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You see, I was born a sinner, and Christ saved me. Do you understand tonight, as you listen in, that you were born in sin? And therefore tonight, as you listen in to this broadcast, you're in great need. You're in great need of a Savior. Oh, God could have justly and righteously damned us to hell for all eternity. And yet we quoted that verse at the outset, John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, He's long-suffering toward us. Perhaps you have been asked to come into this meeting house for many years, and you've always rejected the invitation. But yet tonight you're listening in the comfort and the quiet of your own home. You know, God is speaking to your heart. The extent of God's love is shown for us by the fact that He gave His only begotten Son to die on Calvary for sinners such as you and me, that we might be justified through His precious blood. What does that mean? Made fit for heaven. Cleansed from sin. Made anew, just as if we had never sinned. Oh, many tell us today, live a good life and we're all going to heaven. But my dear friend, tonight I must warn you. If this was the case, why does the last part of that verse exist? For whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I urge you, in the words of Paul the Philippian to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Tell me, will you repent of your sin tonight? Will you come to Him for salvation? Our time has come to an end tonight. Our meeting is almost over. And you know, if you have been introduced to me tonight and you forget all about me, it will cost you nothing. However, as you have been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, if you forget about him, it will cost you everything. In a lost sinner's hell for all eternity. Surely tonight, with all that's going on in the world around us, it is time to seek the Lord. I trust the Lord will bless that which is of himself this evening to every heart. If I can be of any help or assistance to you, don't be afraid to make contact with me on Facebook Messenger. I'm your servant for Christ's sake. Why not contact your minister if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight? A Christian friend, Christian parents. But can I urge you tonight, get right with God. Be saved tonight. Know that you're ready for heaven and for home. And if you do get saved, do let us know that we can rejoice with you, pray for you, even in your newfound faith. Just close our meeting now in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we just praise thee and thank thee, Lord, even for help given, even as we sought to share what thou hast done in our heart and in our lives. How thou didst save us as a brand from the burning. How thou hast led us on with thyself. How thou hast even brought us thus far in our walk with thee and in our service for thee. Oh Lord, we just cry on to thee, Lord, for even those of our young people or perhaps has been listening in tonight. We pray that you'll even call them out, Father, and separate them to do a service and a work for thee in these days in which we live. Oh Lord, our hearts are heavy for those that are listening in tonight. Caught up in the things of the world, perhaps they've been even trouble with the business, trouble with their job. And oh Lord, how you brought them to this point to show them their need of thee. Oh Lord, we realize that no man can come to thee except he be drawn. And oh Father, to this end we cry, we draw the lost unto thyself tonight. Save souls, we pray of thee, even in their own homes as they gather around their device to listen into this service. Do a work of grace in hearts of men and women, even boys and girls, we pray of thee. And we'll be careful to give thee the praise, the honour and glory, which in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen.